Today on Terp Weekly Edition, what Maryland has to do for a spot in the NCAA tournament, the university's synchronized skating team's hopes for nationals, and a look into the life of a stuttering college student. But first, for Maryland football. Randy Edsall was named the new Maryland football coach in January, but was he the guy Maryland fans really wanted? Terp Weekly Edition's Tyler Radeke has the story.
No one who came forward and said, I want to be the head football coach of Maryland, and that's my dream job, but Randy Edsall. Ladies and gentlemen, our new head football coach for Maryland football, Randy Edsall.
Yes, it was Edsall's dream to coach at Maryland, but were students completely on board with his hiring after it looked like former Texas Tech coach Mike Leach was going to be the hire?
I think it's good. I think it's all right. I think Mike Leach would have been better because I feel like Kevin Anderson's reason for hiring a new coach was to get more fans in the seats, and that's definitely what Mike Leach would do.
I felt like it was the right move in order to bring over fans. I was expecting Leach to win the job, and he didn't. And they gave it to Edsall, and Edsall obviously is a qualified coach. He did a great job over at UConn, so we'll see how he's able to build a program.
Leach, though, wasn't the hire, and Edsall was brought in to replace former head coach Ralph Friedgen. When Edsall was announced, there seemed to be a collective letdown because Edsall, while successful at UConn, wasn't as exciting as Leach.
There was initial disappointment, I'd say, but once the recruiting violations came out at Texas Tech, you know, it all kind of blew away, and Randy Edsall seems like he's going to be a good candidate for the job.
Anderson had fired Friedgen after a 7-game turnaround and an ACC Coach of the Year award, which didn't sit well with many students, even though they saw the reasoning for the move.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it worked out for him, right? But, I mean, like, you see it all the time with, like, new ADs. Like, usually they don't always have their own preference and their own guys right away. Like, they usually do have to do some turnover. And, like, with the contract situation being iffy, I mean, it was a good time for him to make a change for him. I mean, it wasn't the smoothest, but he had to do it for him.
And now, Anderson is tied to Edsall, who will be expected to do more than Friedgen did in his final few years with the Terps. Anderson made it clear that he wanted a coach who can take this program to a national level, and students have bought into that possibility.
Well, I think he could take him to the next level. I mean, like, some pieces are already in place here. I think O'Brien's going to be a great quarterback for his whole career here, and our offense is going to be good. Hopefully, if we continue to recruit well, then, yeah, he'll take us to the next step.
Edsall will have to win games to earn the affection of the students, and that comes as no surprise to the new coach, who places those very same expectations on himself.
Well, as I told the young men last evening, I came here to win championships. You know, that's why I came here. You know, I'm a coach, and I want to win at the highest level. And if we're going to put the effort and the time that we do as coaches, and these young men do as student athletes, every year our goal is to win the ACC championship.
For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Tyler Radeke.
Terp fans will have their first chance to see Edsall coach when the team has its annual spring game in early April. His first regular season game in the fall will be a big test, at home against Miami on ESPN.
The kings of the school, man, where the boys are fall. Turn and face the stars and
Maryland basketball. Some fans are passionate, others not so much. But as Kenny Gartner tells us, everyone knows the team will have to make a late run in the season to make the NCAA tournament.
Senior Dan Latinsky doesn't follow Maryland basketball as closely as some of his other classmates.
I'm just a casual fan for the most part. I mean, I enjoy watching the games. I get about one or two games a year.
But he follows just enough that he knows the Terps must make a move in the final games of the season in order to be considered for the NCAA tournament. The tournament has long been associated with its brackets, madness, and sneaking peeks at games during work. And Dan adds, it's fun.
It's obviously sad. It's a fun thing to watch their friends in the tournament. It's a cool event.
And if Maryland wants its fans to have fun, they'll have to get working. Here's the deal. After the loss to Virginia Tech, the team stands at 5-6 in the ACC, good for 7th place in the conference. It's no easy task ahead either. After a weak NC State team comes to town, the Terps draw Florida State, and then a trip to Chapel Hill to take on the Tar Heels, 3 games in a week. Then they must avoid a letdown against Miami before closing out the season against Virginia, and that doesn't count the ACC tournament, which the Terps may need a deep run in to make the NCAA tournament. And Dan isn't surprised with how the Terps have struggled this year. He saw it coming.
NIT is real disappointing, but you kind of expected this going into the year with losing Grievous and Landon and Eric Hayes.
Looking for a spark plug on the basketball court. In College Park, Kenny Gartner for Terp Weekly Edition.
The View, Courtyards, Commons, Parkside, or Varsity? A house off of Route 1? A fraternity or sorority house? What are juniors and seniors to do when it comes to off-campus housing? Terp Weekly Edition's Jason Murphy has more.
As many students know already, or will soon find out, on-campus housing through Resident Life is only guaranteed through sophomore year. If they aren't one of the lucky ones to get a good lottery number, rising juniors and seniors are then forced to fend for themselves and secure off-campus housing out in the real world. With the plethora of options from apartment complexes to houses that are located throughout College Park, what are the determining factors students use when deciding where to live?
I guess I wanted to change after 2 years living in the dorms, and I originally wanted Commons because they were closer to campus.
I chose Courtyards because is one of the cheapest options, and the bus system works really well.
Well, it was they allowed you to sign a lease pretty late, and it's also a pretty cheap alternative. I only pay about $430 a month in rent.
Because it was the cheapest and most convenient place to live, and I didn't have to search for anything, really.
I decided to live here because a bunch of my friends were living here, and it was still pretty convenient, especially with the bus schedule the way it was. I also thought that the apartments themselves were nicer than the ones that you would get in Commons because they're more spacious.
No, I wanted to be close enough to the campus, and anything that I could have rented was just too expensive.
But I could have done Courtyards with my other two roommates, just how the lottery worked out. So that's why I chose Courtyards, because, you know, good roommates are, you know, they're worth a lot. So
the search for housing is underway, and many students are in the process of signing leases in the coming weeks. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Jason Murphy.
There is a house in New Orleans. They pull the rising sun.
It's that time of the semester when classes start picking up the pace and stress suddenly becomes inevitable. I took Eddie Anderson's meditation class at Epley Recreation Center and sat down with her after to talk about the benefits of connecting the mind, body, and spirit.
My first question, how long have you been teaching meditation class at UMD, and what made you want to pursue meditation and teach it to students?
I've been doing this. I became certified in October of 2008, and personally had been meditating for a lot longer than that. I've been meditating myself for probably about 15 to 20 years. And the reason I wanted to pursue this was, number one, I was asked to do it. Dr. Bodison, a director of our University Health Center, I feel is very cutting edge in that she has a wonderful team, and she has an alternative medicine unit where we have massage and acupuncture and meditation.
How does meditation fit into your daily life? I know you've been doing it for a while, so how do you fit it in, even when things seem to be so hectic?
I have realized the benefits to me, and they're so profound that no matter what I'm doing, I will back it up. Like, if I have to do something extra early, I still will get up an hour earlier to make sure that I do my meditation. It means wow. That much to me. It really is very centering. I just feel better, and I can move through my day a lot mm-hmm. easier.
So what do you hope students will get from your class here? What will they take from it?
I hope that the class provides them with the experience of empowerment to take control of their stress by using this technique, and that if they will be consistent with it, they really will realize it. You sat here and went through the meditation, mm-hmm. and so, you know how you feel. It's all about energy and our connection to the universe and how important, your energy is important to the whole.
So why do you think it's important to set aside an hour in your day to meditate?
so that I can be the best that I can be in any given moment of that day. I think we all need to know that we can take care of ourselves.
Anderson's free meditation class is held on Tuesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. at the ERC and Thursdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at the University Health Center. You've probably heard of synchronized swimming, but what about synchronized skating? Emily Jacobs reports on the University of Maryland synchronized skating team and tells us how this relatively new team is accomplishing big goals.
The University of Maryland synchronized skating team has only been around for 4 years. Despite its short lifetime, this hardworking team has gone from placing last in competitions to recently qualifying for nationals against some of the best college teams in the country. Sarah Eddy, president of the UMD Synchro team, says the road to nationals has been rough, but the team's hard work has definitely paid off.
You know, there have been a lot of bumps on the road. We've definitely learned a lot of lessons through the years. Especially moving up this year to this level, I think everyone realized it was a lot more work than any of us had anticipated it being. But I think now that we see, you know, when we do work hard, we can accomplish our goals.
While the team doesn't expect to win at nationals, they do expect to have a clean skate and, most importantly, have fun.
Our goals for nationals are really just to skate the best program that we can skate. We'd like to be able to improve our scores from the past two competitions and just have a really clean skate, have fun, go out, give the audience a show. It's a really fun program, and just have a good time while we're there.
But skating well at the competition isn't the only goal for the team. Eddie says she hopes going to nationals will attract more prospective skaters to the team.
Hopefully we can attract more skaters to come to the school, want to be a part of the team, and really kind of establish ourselves as a college to come and skate at.
Caitlin Lombardi, a freshman on the team who has skated synchro for 15 years, says skating synchro is a great way to adjust to Maryland during your first year here.
It's a great way to make friends, too. We get to see each other 3 days a week. And so it's a small group of girls, so we get close bonds with each other.
The team, who is skating to a melody of songs from the popular movie Animal House, will be heading to Ontario, California in the next couple weeks to show off all their hard work. They're going for the gold on the Golden Coast. In College Park, I'm Emily Jacobs, TERP Weekly Edition.
It's Oscar season, and there's one movie that everyone is talking about. Brian Hoffman has more.
With the Academy Awards approaching, The King's Speech is on the tongue of many in the entertainment world. The movie tells the story of King George VI, who overcame his stutter to lead England during World War II. With his speech an obvious concern, the king turned to a special therapist who helped him make a radio broadcast at the outset of the war. A little closer to home here in College Park, we have our very own King George, college students forced to deal with their stutter. Junior Ben Goldstein's condition dates back to when he began speaking at a young age. He empathized with the king as he watched the movie.
When he was telling his daughters a story and stuttering, and it was one of those situations where you think to yourself, why am I stuttering here? That's a low-feared situation. It's his kids. Comparable situation for me is like talking to my parents, you know? How am I stuttering with my parents? They're my parents. But as a person who stutters, they're always stuttering. It's just how you speak.
Goldstein says his stutter has not affected him socially. He has friends and has had girlfriends in the past. But still, there are situations he avoids.
I was at a party, and there was a group of people there that I had never met, and I wanted to go up and introduce myself and say, hi, but that fear of saying my name, stuttering on my name to a big group of new people held me back.
At the outset of his Maryland career, talking in class with a room full of his peers was also a major concern. What would they think? How would they react? But recently, Goldstein has learned to accept his stutter to promote better speech awareness and was even a part of an ABC 7 story that focused on college students living with the condition. So the next time words fly out of your mouth, think of the king, think of Ben, and be thankful for your speech. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Brian Hoffman.
Finally, a word from our instructor, Max Kakis.
Thanks, Devin. One of the new watchwords in the world of journalism today is transparency. Simply put, it means that our readers, viewers, and yes, our listeners should know a little bit about the background of those of us who produce the journalism content we read, see, and listen to every day. With that in mind, we present a short segment we'd like to call Meet the Staff of Terp Weekly Edition, Spring 2011 Edition. All the students you'll hear are enrolled in J368R, Radio Broadcasting, here at the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland. Junior Brian Hoffman says when he's home in New York or on campus here in College Park, he wants to know what the score is. And that's reflected in the kind of radio he enjoys tuning into.
The stations in New York, it kind of depends on how my teams are doing. If they're doing really good, I want to hear what they're saying. Mm-hmm. If they're doing really bad, I also want to hear what they're saying and what the mass public is thinking about it besides me. But I like the Tony Kornheiser show here in Washington more for entertainment than sports knowledge. It's just kind of funny to listen to, and it's kind of a good blend of sports and news.
Speaking of news, Brian also says when he's in New York, he listens to one of the Big Apple's two all-news radio stations, 1010 Winds, which is owned by CBS. Senior Emily Jacobs says just like Brian, she's also interested in sports and university athletics, but not the prominent ones played in Comcast Center or Bird Stadium.
I like to do stories about sport clubs that a lot of people don't know about, mm-hmm. and their accomplishments, because I think they're really interesting and a lot of people don't know about them. I'd also like to do stories about crime in College Park, because that's always a hot topic and I think it's important.
Emily enjoys listening to the entertainment news headlines in the morning on DC radio station Hot 99.5 FM. For senior Kenny Gartner, Terp Weekly Edition and J368R isn't his first time in a radio station. Along with doing sports for WMUC, Kenny also has been a sports intern for WTOP, the top-ranked all-news station here in D.C. Kenny says that's part of the reason one of the push buttons in his car is on 103.5 FM.
I just think it's cool that I can, like, put a name to a face. I think that's really neat. Just, you know, that I can, someone will be giving a report and I can say, oh, you know, I saw them. But I think it's also really cool because I just think that they, you know, they do it so well. They do the radio program so well that people like me can actually pay attention during it. Because I don't really have the longest attention span in the world, I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So if I can pay attention to something for more than 5 minutes, then it has to be pretty good.
One of Gartner's friends is junior Tyler Radicke, who also works for WMUC. He says he's attracted to the very personal nature of radio as a way to communicate.
You can kind of give the listener an image they wouldn't otherwise have. You can paint it you can describe to them how you see it, and you can kind of send out to a mass audience what you think is happening, and you kind of can do things that you couldn't do with television because you're the only person who can describe it to them, especially with sports. When you're broadcasting, you're the only person you sometimes who's going to be able to tell them what's going on. So I think that's a really cool thing, and I just like radio.
Junior Jason Murphy is also a sportscaster for WMUC. He says being a successful broadcaster boils down to one thing: preparation.
You know, it's really obvious to tell when someone's not prepared. You know,
what do you mean?
Well, I do game broadcasts for WMUC, and it's obvious when my coworkers or other folk are not aware of the players' names on the team. And you know, when you listen to professionals on the radio, everything is right. You know, they're telling you a great picture of what's happening in the game.
Junior Devin Miller says she got her first taste of radio by interning for WDEL, a news talk radio station in Wilmington, Delaware.
I definitely have an interest in radio, mm-hmm. and it developed more over the summer when I interned at WDEL. Uh-huh. And when I'm here, I'm normally taking classes all with video and television, and I think it'll be nice to have a class that just focuses on radio.
Senior Kristen Faka says she wanted to add radio to her multi-platform journalism toolset before she graduates into the working world this spring. She says she enjoys sports and also being an observer of the passing scene.
I like human interest stories, so basically
whatever is going on at that time that seems to be the talk of the town, I would like to kind of research that and expand just based on what I hear students are interested at the time, like interested in at the time.
And Devin, as for me, after almost 30 years in broadcast and online journalism, teaching here at Maryland and helping to produce Terp Weekly Edition marks my return to the College Park campus and WMUC, where I worked as a student in the 1970s. Devin, back to you.
For this week's show, our editor was Tyler Radeke, technical producer Kenny Gartner, and producer Brian Hoffman. We had additional help from Kristen Foca, Emily Jacobs, and Jason Murphy. Visit us online at www.twe.umd.edu or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Devin Miller.